Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Thank you, Justin. Well, I hope you guys are doing good. We are with no audience on Wednesdays and playing it by ear on Sundays, what we're doing. So hopefully you guys are doing well. So tonight's message is called Unsure But Blessed, and we actually shot the message yesterday morning up in the mountains because we have no audience. We figured why not break it up and mix it up. It's easier for us, easier for me. I don't like speaking to an empty audience. It's kind of weird, to be honest. But before we play that, I wanted to share a verse with you guys tonight that was on my heart this morning. And the verse is from the book of John 8:31-32. I've used this verse a lot lately, but I'm going to read it. It says, Jesus therefore was saying to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If there's one thing that I've noticed lately, it's that there's a lot of people that feel like they're in shackles. They feel like they are stuck, right? They feel like they are not free. And it's because there's a lot of confusion. It's because it's really difficult these days to decipher the truth. But Jesus himself said, if you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And a lot of us, you know, we hear that that the Bible is the word of God, and that's part of it. Yeah, definitely. God speaks through his Bible, but the word of God, the word for word is logos, and it's basically the intelligent thoughts that God gives us. It's an actual thought. It's an actual thought out thing that he speaks to us. And I believe that God himself speaks to us individually. I really do. As a father, I can't imagine a world where I wouldn't speak to my children, right? I can't imagine a world where I couldn't speak to my children. I am speaking to them all the time, right? And they may understand half the things I'm saying, but I am still speaking to them all the time. And I believe that God is speaking to you all the time. And so as we listen to tonight's message, what I want you to think about is I want you to think about the fact that God wants to speak to you as his child, that God wants to speak to you just like you, if you have kids, just like you would speak to your children, or your relatives would speak to their children, just like your parents have spoke to you. Like, God wants to speak to you and show you exactly what he wants to show you. And so I'm going to pray that God would help us to get ourselves out of the way. I'm going to pray that God would help us to lay our minds down. And I'm going to pray that God would help us to lay our hearts down and offer them before him and let him take full control, right? Like that Carrie Underwood song, Jesus Take the Wheel. It's a weird song. But the point is that sometimes we got to let go, right? Sometimes we got to let go and we got to let God do his thing. And we got to trust him. And so let's pray and ask God to show us what he wants to show us tonight. Father, I just pray, Lord, for everybody that's in their homes tonight or in their cars or wherever they're at. Lord, I pray, God, just for a few moments that they would stop. And Lord, if they listen to the message and they hear something from you in the message, great. If they need to just stop and pray right now, I pray that they would stop and just pray. They can watch it later. That's fine with me. Lord, I pray right now that you would take a hold of their hearts, that you would take a hold of their minds, God, and that you would speak to us, that you would give us instructions, that you would give us the word, the actual word, the word that you have for us. I pray that you would give it to us, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for everything you're doing, Lord. And I pray that you would just anoint this message right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. All right, so I am live. We're gonna play this video, and I'm gonna come back at the end and pray for you guys again. But go ahead and watch this and enjoy, okay?
Mm-hmm. So the other day, my wife and I were able to get away and go on a short trip. And it was the first time that we were able to do that since well before COVID. In fact, we had our baby last October, and we hadn't actually been away since then by ourselves. And it was so nice to get away. We had so much fun. It was a relaxing weekend, just what we needed, right? And when we came home, my wife, she got out of the car first, and we had picked up our daughters, and they were sleeping, and she went to go unlock everything so we could take them in and put them in bed. And she came back and she said, "Josh, come here, you gotta see this." And I said, "What is it?" And somebody had broken into my office at my house and had stolen some items and busted the window, and it was a big mess. You know, we came home after this relaxing, nice weekend, something we really needed, and all of a sudden, you know, there's glass everywhere. Some of my video gear that I use for a lot of the church stuff had been taken. And it really put me in a funk for a few days. Like, I was really frustrated. It was funny because I ended up staying up. I told my wife, I said, "We're going to catch these guys. They're going to come back tonight." And so I ended up, we ended up hiding the cars. And I don't recommend this, by the way. We ended up hiding the cars, and I ended up sitting outside all night. Maybe I was armed, maybe I wasn't, but I was out there waiting for these guys to come back. I don't know what I was going to do. If they actually came in, I would have, who knows what I would have done, you know? I'm glad they didn't come back. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about how many things in life happen that we are unable to prepare for, because we don't know the future, right? God has it set up that way to where he doesn't tell us the future. Sometimes I wish he would. I wish that he would have an email sent to me every single Monday that says, you know, this is what's going to happen this week. It's going to be, you're going to deal with this on Monday. You're going to deal with this on Tuesday. Wednesday is going to be a nice day. You know, Thursday is going to be tough. What I wish that I knew sometimes, but then I start thinking about it. And I think, you know, if I did know what was going to happen in the future, my stress level would probably go from a 5 to a 10. You know, I'd be super stressed. I'd be super frustrated because I would think, man, am I prepared enough for what's coming? And so what I want to talk to you guys about here for a moment is the idea of being unsure, but still having faith. In the Bible, there are all kinds of people that were unsure of the outcome, but yet they were still trusting God. Right? Abraham is a good example. He was unsure of where God was sending him, but God said, "Go this way." And he did. And he went this way. Moses was unsure of how he was going to be able to lead all these people from a tyrant, from a dictator, out of one country into a whole different country. He didn't know how that was going to work, but he moved forward anyway. You can go on and talk about Job. Job was unsure as to why, you know, all these bad things happened to him, but he still trusted God. See, it's okay to be unsure about the future. It's okay to be unsure about the outcomes, but we cannot live in a way to where we are unsure about God. So let me ask you a question. I asked the staff a question, this exact question the other day. Do you trust God? Okay, just think about it for a second. Do you really trust God? Do you doubt God ever? Do you ever doubt that he's going to come through for you? Now, I asked the staff this exact question, and they came back and they shook their heads like, "Of course we don't doubt God. We don't doubt God. We trust God 100%. But then I asked them another question. I said, "Do you doubt yourself? Do you have trouble thinking about yourself and how you are not going to come through for yourself? Like do you doubt that you have the ability to follow God and follow his plans?" And they all kind of shook their head like, "Yeah, I do. I doubt myself." And then I asked them a third question. I said, "Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between doubting God and doubting yourself? Because God created you. God put you in this place. God wanted you to be here, wanted you to be going through these trials, and he knew what you could handle. He knew what you couldn't handle." And so when we doubt ourselves in a weird way, it's almost like we're doubting that God created us. We're almost like we're doubting that God, you know, allowed us to have these minds that we have with, you know, the inability to see the future and still being able to trust God. Right? Like it's the idea of being unsure about the future. That's okay. It's okay to be unsure about tomorrow. It's okay to be unsure about next week. It's okay to be unsure. I have no idea what's going to happen. We're wondering how long at the beginning when COVID started, we didn't know how long this was going to last. We still don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how long we're going to be displaced from our normal activity. And again, you go back to normal. What is normal anyway? What does normal even mean? What has normal ever meant? When was your life actually normal? Things change. And we don't like change. We don't like change because it requires energy to adapt. Like if we had it the way we wanted it, we would just live. We would just live our lives, right? And we would just be able to get into autopilot mode and relax. But then if we never had change, if we never experienced this change that required us to adapt, we would never experience growth in character. We would never experience the things that God has for us, the blessings that God has for us. I want to share some scriptures with you, and I want to talk about this idea of being unsure about outcomes, but still being sure about who God is and what he does. In Hebrews chapter 11, the writer talks about faith. And in verse 1, he gives us a definition of what faith actually is. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." So the idea that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, that's a definition of faith. Okay. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm, misleading you or I just told you that it's okay to be unsure about the future, but not okay to be unsure about God, right? But the idea that that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, that's a definition of faith. And that definition of faith can be applied to many different things, right? That definition can be applied to, I put my faith in my riches. I am assured that I'm going to become rich because of what I do, right? And that's the wrong application of faith. You can put your faith in other people, right? You can be like, I'm sure that this person in my life is going to come through for me, right? I'm sure that they're going to be there, but that would be the wrong application for faith, right? See, the writer makes it more specific down in verse 6. Not only he takes the definition of faith and he matches it up with how we're supposed to live when it comes to God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith," okay, "without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So when we talk about faith, we're not talking about faith in your abilities. We're not talking about faith in your riches. We're not talking about faith in the people around you. We're talking about faith in God, in a God who's real, who walks with you, who it says over and over in the Bible that every single person that's following him, God always says the same thing. I'll be with you. He never says nothing bad will come. He never says there will never be challenges. The one thing he says is that he will walk with you. King David even wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he was in a dangerous place when he was thinking that, right? "Even though I walk in these dangerous places," he said, "I fear no evil because you're with me." Even though I'm in an area where there's danger all around me, where there's people dying, where there's hurt, there's frustration, there's anguish, there's confusion. Even though I walk in that world, I fear no evil because you're with me, God. It's not about where we're headed sometimes. Sometimes we wonder, where we're headed. We wonder, what's going on. And we get frustrated and we get thrown off. But in the end, it's not about where we're going. It's about who we're going with. and we're going with God. Further down, just to reiterate this point, that again, we are unsure of what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know the future. God hasn't given me the future. Maybe he's given you the future. I don't know. But occasionally God will give us ideas and visions and thoughts. You know, he'll give us glimpses. He'll let us know things are going to be okay, or he'll teach us and show us to prepare, show us what to do today to prepare for tomorrow. But we never know exactly how things are going to turn out, right? And that's okay. I want to reiterate this by looking at these verses in 11:7. It says, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. It says that he didn't know. He was preparing for things that he had not seen before. God said, it's going to rain. It's going to flood. And Noah's like, okay, yeah, all right, God. I don't know what you're talking about. But because God asked him to do it, he did it. He said, okay, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what you asked me to do because I trust you. That's why he did it. In verse 8, it says, Abraham was going, when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, look what it says, not knowing where he was going. He went not knowing where he was going. It's like God said, go that way, Abraham. And Abraham's like, I don't know what's over there, but you said it, and I'm going to do it. And I don't think Abraham was too concerned about the outcome because he trusted God. He trusted that God was going to give him what he's going to give him. And I wonder, you know, you wonder sometimes, you think, why wouldn't God let us know what the outcome is going to be? Why wouldn't God give us a heads up of what's coming, right? And the specifics of what's coming. And I think the truth is because whatever we can imagine in our mind isn't even as great as the blessings that God has for us. God has so much more for us than we can even imagine. I think that the filters of our minds would downplay the blessings that God has for us. I think that we can't comprehend the things that God has for us. Jesus, when he first started his ministry, he got together on a hill and he called together his disciples, and the multitudes were just following him at this point because they had heard about this man who was performing miracles and teaching like no other. And so all these crowds showed up, and we have this sermon in Matthew 5 called the Sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes, and took place in a specific place on the Sea of Galilee. You can visit there if you ever take a trip to Israel, and we've been there multiple times, and it's beautiful, very serene, very awesome. And I could just imagine all these people sitting out there and Jesus standing up on a hill, and he begins his teaching by saying this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I was reading a commentary on this passage, and the idea of blessings, the writer juxtaposed blessings with happiness, and he made the point that happiness has to do with circumstances. Happiness has to do with met expectations, right? Or even when we are surprised and our expectations are superseded by something even better than we expected, right? Happiness is all circumstantial. Happiness comes when, you know, you're playing with your kids and you just lose track of time, and you know, something catches your eye and you see them smile and you're like, man, this is how it should be. And happiness is good. It's a blessing. It's from God, right? And we should appreciate it when we are happy. We should enjoy the moments that God gives us. But happiness is much less in value than being blessed. A blessing is something that is deeper. It's a satisfaction of knowing that you're going to be taken care of. It's a satisfaction of knowing that you're with God, that you're with the King, that you're with the one that can take care of anything and everything. And Jesus started his message by speaking to this group of people. And I asked myself the question, I'm like, okay, so he's explaining who these people are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the gentle. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful. And I was thinking, who is Jesus speaking to? And I think that his target audience, people that he was speaking to in the crowd, were the people that didn't think he was speaking to them. He starts explaining these characteristics of people who don't really even think about themselves very often. They are people who consider that there are other people around. There are people that care about other people, that care about God, that care about the world that they live in. People that take responsibility for their communities, right? The gentle, those who mourn, those who mourn for their own sins, those who mourn for the people around them, right? The peacemakers, people that are trying to put things back together, right? And Jesus is like, you guys are the ones that are blessed. Then he goes on and eventually calls those people the salt of the earth. He says they are the light of the world. He goes on to just talk about how important it is for us to think so countercultural. You see, people that don't know Jesus, they feel alone and they are living their lives in a way to where they think that they have to provide for themselves. They have to take care of everything themselves. And that becomes a mentality of, I've got to do this on my own. I have to make it in life, right? And that mentality is the mentality that Jesus is actually speaking against. And he's saying, no, you're not alone. No, you're not. You're with me. And we're doing something much bigger. And you're a part of not only me, but you're a part of the people around you. You're part of the culture. You're part of the community that I have you in. And so for those of you that care, I want you to know that you're blessed, that you have a satisfaction in me, and that you have riches in me, and that you have everything you need in me. So I want to just reiterate and make sure that we understand that we are in a trial right now. We are in a testing right now. We're in a time where it would be really easy for us to get negative and down. It would be really easy for us to get frustrated, right? I've personally been dealing with challenge after challenge after challenge. I shared about, you know, getting broken into. That was one of like 10 things that's happened recently that have been difficult for me. And I'm not going to talk about all those things. Some of them are more personal in nature, but life isn't easy right now for a lot of us. And that could be frustrating. That could be a cause or a reason for us to be negative or want to fight, want to be angry. But I want to encourage all of us to realize that God has allowed these things to happen because he wants us to be uncomfortable, because he wants us to change our mindset. And if we change our mindset and remember that it's about faith in him, not faith in outcomes, it's about faith in him, not faith in the system, it's about faith in him, not faith in politics, it's about faith in him, not faith in the people around you, it's about faith in him, not faith in your job, it's about faith in him as a person, it's about faith in him as a God, it's about faith in him as a king, as a lord, as a master. And if we can learn to trust him, we're going to automatically be blessed with a satisfaction to the point where anything could come our way and we'd be able to handle it. We would be smiling. We'd have a big old smile on our face, right? When James says, consider it joy when you encounter trials, we would actually be able to live that life because we trust in him and we trust in who he is. And so I want to encourage you guys to just lay aside all the worries and fears. And just ask yourself, do you doubt God? Do you doubt that he will come through for you? And most of us would answer, no, I don't doubt God. So then let's trust him and let's believe in him. And let's trust that he's going to bless us. And let that free you. And let that become a part of who you are on a daily basis. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but on a daily basis. Let's learn to trust God with everything that we have, okay?
So very few people are good at self-evaluation, at understanding what they need to work on. And as Christians, I believe that God is constantly showing us what we need to work on. And yes, we need to trust God. We need to walk with him. But the whole purpose of trusting God and walking with God is that he will change who we are, is that he will change our character. He will change our heart. And so I want to leave you tonight with the simple question of what is it that God wants you to change? Just think about that. That's what I want you to think about tonight and this week. What is it that God wants you to change? And I'm going to pray right now that God gives you the ability to continually work on it, because it's a work in progress. It's not going to be easy, right? It's not going to be easy. It never is. But you got to work and work and work, right? There's a little cowboy saying is, when you fall off the horse, what do? You get back on. And you get back on, you fall, you get back on, you get back on, you get back on. You keep moving forward because God is never going to give up on you, so you can never give up on him, okay? So we can do this together. Let's pray. Father, I pray that every single one of us would know exactly what we need to work on. Lord, I pray that every single one of us would know exactly what it is that we need to change in our lives. Lord, I know for myself, I'll be the first to admit, I've been dealing with anger. I've been dealing with anger, Lord. You know that I have. My temper is short again. I was doing well for a while, Lord. I was hanging on to you for a while, but then I took it on my own and I was dealing with that. So I admit that, Lord, to everybody. And I pray that everyone would have the thing that they need to work on, Lord, that we would all be able to work on what we need to work on as we walk with you, so that your love can freely shine through us, so that people around us can see you, because that's the whole purpose of all this, that they see you, that we see you. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be the salt, help us to be the light, help us to be the people you've called us to be, and that requires us to surrender. And so I pray for every single person that is listening tonight, listening wherever they are, maybe they're listening in the future, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability to be humble enough to surrender to your love and surrender to your grace and surrender to the point where we are obeying you on a daily basis. God, I pray there'd be no condemnation for those who are in you, but I pray, Lord, that you would also discipline us enough to let us know we're loved. Discipline us enough to let us know that we are still in the game, that we are still the people that you have called by name. I pray that you'd encourage everybody to just be the person that you've called them to be. Help us to stand, help us to walk, and just guide us by your Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is